Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Psalm 89 verse 1 from the New King James Bible says this, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations.
I'm with Tricia Miller from CAMRA, the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting. And today we're talking about Dr. Reverend Muntha Isaac. Now, Tricia, who is Muntha Isaac?
Well, Muntha Isaac is a longtime proponent of anti-Israel falsehoods. He has a long history of doing this, promoting falsehoods about Israel and the Arab-Israeli conflict. He is a pastor. He's the academic dean of Bethlehem Bible College in Bethlehem, which is a self-identified evangelical university. However, it promotes a Palestinian Christian theology. Muntha Isaac's also the director of the Christ at the Checkpoint conferences, which those are the conferences that are hosted by Bethlehem Bible College. They occur every 2 years. It's really an infamous venue where anti-Israel libels are proclaimed in the name of Christian love, justice, and peace. The conferences attract Christians from around the world, especially America, and they have promoted really libelous anti-Israel propaganda at these conferences. So Muntha Isaac has had a lot of influence for a lot of years through his roles as pastor and at the Bible College and through these conferences.
You've just mentioned that Dr. Isaac is also the director of Christ at the Checkpoint. How trustworthy has the conference been with its information? What sort of things are they saying?
They present a narrative that they are occupied, that the Christians in, you know, what they refer to as the West Bank specifically, and they talk about Bethlehem, in particular that they are occupied, that the Israelis are illegal occupiers of the land, that they don't belong there. They create a historic narrative that says that the Jews who live in Israel now have no relationship to the ancient Israelites. They are just people who came from Europe in the 1800s, that the Jews have no right to the land, that the Palestinians are the indigenous people of the land. And so this, they're promoting their own version of replacement theology for 2,000 years almost. We have dealt with replacement theology in the church that says that Christians have replaced the Jews in the purposes of God. Their particular version is they, the quote Palestinians, we can talk about that word even, Palestinians, that they're the indigenous people of the land and the Jews are foreign occupiers there.
Have they been pushing the narrative of genocide?
Yes, they have. And, you know, Muntha Isaac, we've dealt with Muntha Isaac for many, many years at CAMRA, and I hadn't actually been seeing as much influence from him in recent years. Something very alarming happened in April where he was interviewed by Tucker Carlson. And you know, with the world reach that Tucker Carlson has and how popular he is, and Tucker Carlson has done good things in other areas, but in this case, he gave Muntha Isaac a platform, didn't challenge a word he said, let him talk for approximately an hour, just delegitimizing Israel. And of course, this was in the context of everything happening now since October 7th and Israel going into Gaza. So yes, the accusation of genocide was highly discussed in this quote interview. It really wasn't an interview. Carlson just set him up, made some very leading comments that were very anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, and then let Muntha talk. So one of the charges was genocide, yes, and it's completely false accusation. Okay, well then let's start by defining what genocide is. What does this mean? Genocide, the definition, the official definition is that it's the intentional destruction of a people in whole or in part. And in 1948, the United Nations Genocide Convention defined genocide as acts committed with an intent to destroy a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. Well, that definition actually describes what Hamas did to Israel on October 7th. When they attacked Israel 13 months ago now, they were intending, and they did, they killed, they annihilated, they were intending to go much further than they did into Israel that day. This is the opposite of what Israel's doing in Gaza. If Israel was trying to commit genocide, they're really, really bad at it because Gaza is still full of people. If Israel wanted to commit genocide, they could have just bombed all of Gaza and gotten rid of it. But they have meticulously gone in with troops on the ground to root out the terrorists. They are specifically targeting terrorists. They're taking out terrorists and terrorist sites for bombing and terrorist headquarters. They are taking them out with very targeted attacks, and they are actually protecting civilians.
Now, one of the posters at the Christ at the Checkpoint quoted Dr. Isaac as saying, if Jesus was born today, he would be born in Gaza under the rubble. Is he playing politics with theology?
Yes, he's definitely playing politics. But having talked to a number of these people one-on-one, they also actually believe this, a lot of them. Some of it's, yes, it's just politics. But Mitri Rahab quoted, I think it was 2010, the first Christ at the Checkpoint. He made a similar analogy. He said that if you were to do a DNA test between him and Jesus, that you'd have a match, but a DNA test between him and Bibi Netanyahu, there would be no match, because Bibi Netanyahu's just part of this group of people who came from Europe in the 1800s. And so Munther's saying that, yes, that Jesus would have been born in Gaza. It's the same line of thinking. Well, look at what they call their conferences, Christ at the Checkpoint, and the images they use for that, you know, and they show a barbed wire fence or whatever. They show, you know, the fact that there is a security fence between Bethlehem and Israel proper is because it had to be put up to keep terrorists from just coming in to Israel and doing suicide bombing. But Israel's not trying to imprison them in Bethlehem. They're just trying to create security for their people. So, but the whole Christ at the Checkpoint image, and then saying that Jesus would be born in Gaza if he were born today, and Mitri Rahab saying there's no DNA connection between Jesus and Bibi Netanyahu, it's all part of this whole propaganda campaign that says the Jews are illegal, the Palestinians are the legitimate people of the land.
Of course, Jesus would never be born in Gaza, because the scriptures, the Bible scriptures, tell us that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. So he's twisting the Bible and twisting the scripture. Are there any other ways where he sort of twisted the scripture, like in talking about genocide and when God told the children of Israel to come into the promised land?
Well, yes, those scriptures are used, obviously, to be very anti-Jewish, to talk about what the Israelites did when they entered the promised land. But the Israelites did not wipe out all the people, for one thing. But yes, they twist scripture. And back to I wanted to point out how they're not only twisting scripture, but they're basically rewriting it. Because by claiming that they, the quote, Palestinian people, are the indigenous people of the land, and that the Jews are not, they are rewriting scripture. They're not just twisting a few scriptures. They are rewriting the entire scripture. Start with Matthew 1, which gives this detailed account of Jesus's very Jewish genealogy. You can't deny that. You have to either ignore it or say it's not accurate, but that's what they're doing. But then that goes all the way back, all the way through the Hebrew scriptures. You know, the Hebrew scriptures is a history of the people of Israel and God's purposes with them. So they are rewriting it blatantly to make up their own definition of everything that's said in the Bible.
Jesus wasn't a Palestinian, because Palestine didn't even actually exist in Jesus' day, did it?
No, it didn't. That name came from the Romans after the second Jewish revolt in the second century. It was the Romans who were occupying the land. When you talk about people occupying a land, it means foreigners occupying a land that isn't theirs. So there's no way the Jews can be occupiers, because they've been there for over 3,000 years since, well, actually 4,000, starting with Abraham. But the history of the Jewish people is recorded in texts and archaeological evidence, et cetera, since before the time of David. That's 3,000 years ago. So the Jews are the native people of the land. It is their land. So there's no way they can be, you can't occupy your own land. The Romans came in, conquered, you know, much of the known world at that time, including the land of Israel. And when the Jews revolted against the occupation and they lost, the Romans won, of course, because they had a much more powerful army, but they renamed the land. It was called Judah, after the Jews. Judah is where the Jews are from, just like Arabia is where Arabs are from, et cetera, et cetera. Italy is where Italians are from. It was Judah because that's where the Jews were from. So they renamed it to wipe out every evidence of the Jewish people they could. And so the land took on this name of Palestine from the time of the Romans in the second century, but there was never a nation of Palestine, and there were no people known as Palestinians. In fact, the Arabs who lived in the land before Israel became a state didn't want to be called Palestinians because that's what the Jews were called. Because the land, because the territory was referred to as Palestine, the Jews who lived in the land before it became Israel, they were the ones called Palestinians. And the Arabs who lived there said, no, we're not that, because they don't want to be associated with Jews. They insisted on being called Arabs. And they did not take the title or the identity of Palestinians until Yasser Arafat in the 60s decided this was a great political weapon to use. Start calling them the Palestinians and start claiming they're the indigenous people of the land.
Now, many evangelicals believe the promises of God for Israel in the book of Genesis and see Israel as a modern day miracle. Does he criticize that and the Western evangelicals?
Yes, yes, he does, very much. The accusation is that evangelicals who support Israel are supporting genocide. This was the theme of the Tucker Carlson interview, actually. Tucker started off by attacking Christians who support Israel. And how can Christians support any kind of a people who's committing genocide and killing all these civilians and all the false accusations of how many civilians have been killed in Gaza? All of that was repeated by Tucker and Munther Isaac. So there is definitely an attack on Christian support of Israel in all of this too.
Was there any mention of the massacre of October the 7th? You know, rockets being fired from Gaza, or how Hamas has been treating its own citizens in that interview? Was any of this mentioned?
No. Israel and the Jews are the bad guys. They're the ones committing evil. No, there was no mention of what was done to 1,200 civilians, not just killed. I mean, just to be murdered would have been kind compared to what was done to these people. They were tortured, they were raped, they were burned alive. All kinds of horrible atrocities were done. No mention of that. The whole focus was on what is Israel supposedly doing to the poor Gazans, and the whole talk about, you know, the tens of thousands of civilians who were killed. That's all totally false. It's totally false. In any war, there are obviously some civilian deaths, and that's horrible. But Israel's doing everything they can to protect civilians. They notify civilians before they attack a weapons site or a Hamas headquarters. They tell them to get out, et cetera, et cetera. They've had provisions coming in. The world is screaming. And that was another one of the accusations that Munther Isaac made, you know, that Israel's intentionally trying to starve the Gazans. They're creating a famine. It's all false. It's documented. I have figures. It's all documented that it's completely false. The number of civilian deaths is completely false. And the fact that the Gazans are starving is also completely false. One figure that was as of a few months ago, Hamas is reporting this. And the world media picks this up like, oh, if Hamas says it, you know, they're going to quote it. They were saying over 35,000 civilians were killed. But you have to understand, number one, there's not been that many deaths anyway, because Israel is conscientiously documenting the deaths. They are identifying every terrorist they kill. They're targeting terrorists. They're identifying all the terrorists they kill. And it's nowhere near that number. But you have to understand Hamas's terms. What's a civilian to Hamas? To Hamas, everybody in Gaza is a civilian, including all their terrorists. In Israel, every single person is a combatant. They view anybody in Israel as a target who can legitimately be killed, which justifies for them why they killed women, old people, babies, children. They're all combatants. But in Gaza, no, they're all civilians, according to Hamas. So the other difficulty in identifying, okay, who's a combatant, who's a terrorist in Gaza, and who's a civilian is the fact that the terrorists all dress as civilians also. So there's these completely different definitions of who is a civilian, and Hamas plays by completely different rules. The IDF has kept records of all, they name them, they identify them, of all the terrorists who they've killed. And just recently, what was most notable is that even Hamas had to say, oh yeah, well, those numbers we gave, yeah, they were, you know, inflated by at least double. So there's no truth telling, and it's appalling how the world media picks up on anything Hamas says and just quotes it as if it's fact.
I imagine as well that if a 17-year-old is out there fighting against Israel as a Palestinian, as a member of Hamas, and he's 17 and he is killed, does he go down as a child because he's under 18?
Yes. Yes, of course. And you see that happening in what the world calls is the West Bank, too. They're teenagers, throw rocks, do all kinds of things to attack Israelis driving through on streets there, driving on the roads, or attacking soldiers. And yeah, of course, then if Israel takes them out, because they are, that is life-threatening acts, even to throw rocks at cars driving on the road. Many have been killed that way. So if Israel takes them out, yeah, then what the media says is, yeah, Israel shot another child and another Palestinian child without, you know, saying what they were doing or giving their age.
When the United Nations give us figures and quotes, are they actually getting their figures from Hamas?
Yes, they are.
Everything's being controlled by Hamas, and Hamas is a terrorist organization, a proscribed terrorist organization. They're also Islamic, and as part of Islamic ideology, they're allowed to lie within Islam as well, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah, it's called taqiyat. I mean, they can just say whatever they want to say for the purpose. The ends justifies the means. And what we saw in the media and continue to see it is that if Hamas says something, the media quotes it. If Israel says something, there'll be some qualifying remark with it. Well, according to Israel, or Israel claims, but it's qualified. If Hamas says it, it's just taken as fact by the media.
Israel is the only country in the world with a covenant from God. How important is that when we look at Israel today and what's happening in the news?
It's important to understand that God does not lie, and he does not change his mind. And then when he makes a covenant, he doesn't break it. And beginning in Genesis, the covenant that he made with Abraham and for Abraham's descendants was an eternal covenant. In Hebrew, it's a berit olam. It's an eternal covenant. And God doesn't break those covenants. And when I'm speaking to Christians, I say, if you believe that if God broke that covenant and, oh, there's no more promises for the Jewish people, then your covenant that you think you have with God may be in trouble. You know, we think we have a second covenant. We have the covenant through the blood of Jesus, right? Well, if God breaks a covenant with Abraham, maybe he'll break that one too, then. You need to think about that. But he doesn't. God doesn't break covenant. And he called it a berit olam, an eternal covenant. How long is eternal? It's eternal.
Now, Dr. Isaac says he can't go to Jerusalem without permission, which is true. But what are some of the things that have happened in Jerusalem by Palestinian terrorists, and those weren't actually mentioned in the interview?
Well, he didn't cover the Second Intifada or any of the First or the Second Intifada, but it was after the Second Intifada that Israel started putting up security checkpoints and a wall in some places, but most of the border is a fence, just so that they can control the access to Israel proper, so that they can check. You know, the whole world, we go through checkpoints all the time. If you want to get on an airplane, you have to go through it's called a checkpoint. And they're going to check you and they scan the baggage and then everything. This is how the world operates for security. But if Israel does it, somehow they're demonized for doing this. And all Munther Isaac says is, oh, I can't go. You know, they restrict my travel. Everyone's travel is restricted to come out of Bethlehem and a few other access points because there was such a large number of terrorists just coming across and committing all the suicide bombings, the blowing up of restaurants, the Sabara pizza, you know, on and on and on. There's all those examples. And that has been stopped by Israel putting up security precautions to be able to check people coming in.
What are some of the other things that he's been saying that have been false?
I'd like to talk about the question of innocent civilians a little bit, because that was a large focus of that interview with Tucker Carlson, for one thing, but he's been saying this for years, but this is all obviously much more emphasized now since Israel had to go into Gaza to take out terrorists who were shooting rockets. Oh, there was no mention either of all the rockets shot from Gaza day after day after day after day for years, and especially since October 7th, there were still rockets. Even when they were still taught, when they were doing this interview in April, there were still rockets. Now, there's only a few random ones because Israel's been able to take out so many. But I want to talk about, what is an innocent civilian? You know, they call, like I've already said, they call everybody in Gaza a civilian, but there are some, obviously, there's civilians. But what's the definition of an innocent civilian? We would define civilians as those not involved in a war. That's the traditional definition of a civilian, not a combatant. But in Gaza, the waters are very murky. On October 7th, a year ago, there were thousands and thousands of these so-called civilians who also went over the border into the Israeli communities in the south and committed all the same atrocities that Hamas, official Hamas combatants, committed. Some of the hostages who were released last November, a year ago, reported being held in the homes of civilians. The four hostages who were rescued this past June, there was one woman and three men, they were held in two different places. They were held in what, you know, everybody would call a civilian home. So again, you know, I have to ask the question, who's an innocent civilian? If you are aiding and abetting Hamas, either by going over the border on October 7th and doing all the same atrocities, and yet, you know, you're not an official member of Hamas, but you're a, quote, civilian, I don't think that makes you an innocent civilian. And if you're holding hostages, you're not an innocent civilian. So when the IDF went in and rescued those four hostages in June, they killed the people who were trying to prevent them from rescuing the hostages. So what, you know, what Munther Isaac would say, what the news media would say is, oh, the IDF shot civilians. No, they shot civilians who were armed and were shooting at them and holding hostages. Those are not innocent civilians.
We see at the moment there's a war between Russia and Ukraine, but this war between Israel and Gaza is completely different, isn't it? Because Russia and Ukraine are two different countries fighting each other, whereas Israel is actually dealing with terrorists and terrorist infrastructure, and you don't know who is a civilian, who's not a civilian.
That's correct. It's a totally different scenario, and too many times they're linked. You know, people try to link them in the, you know, in the U.S. even. Aid to Israel has sometimes been linked to, well, we have to give more aid to Ukraine at the same time. It is a totally different situation.
What is your prayer? What is your hope for what is going on at the moment, and for someone like Munther Isaac?
Well, I would just pray supernaturally that they could see the truth. I don't know, you know, Munther Isaac and people like him have been saying this for so many decades, not just years, but decades. I believe they really believe what they're saying. I would pray that somehow they could be touched and enlightened with the truth. But most of all, I would pray for anyone hearing them to know the truth, that they would recognize the lies. They need to be informed. They need to recognize the lies that are being propagated and recognize the root of this is actually a rebellion to God, rebellion to God's word, a rebellion to the truth that's revealed in the word about God's covenant with the Jewish people and his plans for the nation of Israel, and that people would understand that we are living in the day where we have seen this fulfillment of the Hebrew prophets, where they prophesied this day, where the Jews would be brought back from the four corners of the earth, brought back to the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
A lot of this is Palestinian liberation theology, but there's no such thing really, is there? You know, God didn't make a covenant with the Palestinians and say, this is what's going to happen. It was with the Jews and the Jewish people. Palestinian liberation theology is just basically a load of rubbish, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's part of other causes around the world where people try to link other causes, you know, to the same thing, just like you mentioned Ukraine as an example, but it's completely different, as you said. But people try to link these common causes, and liberation theology came out of South America, and, you know, for liberating the people who are oppressed. But so the narrative gets, you know, taken over to this situation and claims that it's the Palestinian people who are oppressed. In contrast, I would point out, well, let me just say, the Palestinian people are oppressed, but they're oppressed by their own government. And just as one example on the issue of the so-called famine in Gaza, Israel was allowing hundreds of trucks ever since the beginning, ever since they went in. They were still allowing hundreds of trucks full of provisions to go across the border every day. Hamas was taking those provisions and either keeping them from the people completely or then selling them at, you know, high prices. There were some cases of shortages of food, but it was because of Hamas, not Israel, not letting in those. So, yes, the Gazan people need to be liberated, but they need to be liberated from Hamas and not the Israelis. The Israelis have had nothing to do with Gaza since 2005 when they left. Hamas has been in control.
What is your website for people who'd like to know more about the work that you do and some of the corrections that you make for the media?
The CAMRA website in general is www.camra.org. And then I'm the director of the Partnership of Christians and Jews. And we have our own website, and that's camraspartnership.org. No apostrophe S in cameras, just camraspartnership.org.
Well, Tricia, thank you very much for sharing today.
Thank you, Paul, for having me.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.